If you're wondering why there are crowded lines of people standing outside of motion picture theaters these days, something that hasn't happened in a long time, the reason is that they're waiting in line to see the spectacular new motion picture, Star Wars. Well, Star Wars is a whole new idea in filmmaking today. It's a space fantasy filled with thrills, all kinds of action, and a great deal of suspense. And you're about to meet the stars of Star Wars, and here they are. Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford. And they're going to be questioned by members of the Star Trek Revival Club, and we'll be hearing from them later, right after Catherine Kiefer in the news.
Somewhere in space, this may all be happening right now.
Welcome to Star Wars at the Movies.
Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Star Wars.
At the Movies.
An international oral history of cinematic experiences from a galaxy far, far away.
I've seen Star Wars about a dozen times.
I've seen Star Wars
17 times.
Star Wars, 22 times.
40 times, and it was great each time.
55. About 57 times.
69 fois.
You can never get too much of Star Wars. I've seen the first Star Wars 153 times.
All together, we have seen Star Wars 324 times.
We've been here for 6 days and it's great!
Hello there, I'm Stephen Danley and welcome to episode 26 of Star Wars at the Movies. So, imagine that Star Wars, that is the 1977 original movie, is only 24 days old, and the main reactor of this new film phenomenon is about to explode. Three fresh-faced stars that are about to be known and loved across the planet are just a few feet away and awaiting your questions. That is just the situation that my guest Leslie Sawyer found herself in on June 17th, 1977. She was one of a lucky few young fans that were invited as audience members on The Lee Phillips Show for a Q&A with Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and Harrison Ford, just as Star Wars was blasting off. To set the stage a bit, the movie had just expanded to another 76 theaters on the day of this interview, making that 159 venues and counting. The exponential expansion was really kicking in, as was the fandom fever. This absolute treasure of a recording recently surfaced from the Chicago Museum of Classic Television and captures a snapshot of Star Wars being on the precipice of pop culture domination.
The motion picture Star Wars is one of the most successful films of today. Why is Star Wars so successful, and why are people waiting in line to see it? And why are people going back again and again? These are some of the questions that we'll be asking the stars of Star Wars, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford. Let's give them a hand, all right? All right, Mark, first up. Why is Star Wars such a big success, in your estimation?
In my estimation, right. I've seen it in the theater and watched just the audience. I didn't watch the screen. And I think for 2 hours, people are having a great time. It's like a good roller coaster ride. It's like a good ride at Disneyland. You can sit down, you can laugh, you can boo the villain, cheer the heroes. And it's not meant to be any intellectual sort of...
A big message or something.
No. Just... It's good versus evil, which is so basic, and it's got the stuff of Ivanhoe, of King Arthur. I mean, whatever George could summon up from things that made him happy in movies, in literature, he put in Star Wars. I mean, we even have a mechanical Laurel and Hardy. The comic relief of the picture is that little barrel-shaped R2-D2.
George.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he's adorable. He's like a mechanical teddy bear. People are just falling in love with him.
And Carrie, why do people go back again and again? Because they can't see it all the first time, is that right?
Well, yeah, there's so much going on, and probably to verify that they actually saw what they saw the first time, if it actually happened. But there is so much to see. There's the Wookiee, the droids, the robots, the people, the
sand
princesses,
people.
The sand people, the Jawas.
Oh, do you even remember all of those?
A Chicago area television pioneer and staple for decades, Lee Phillip had interviewed celebrities from U.S. presidents and movie stars like John Wayne and Judy Garland to the likes of the Rolling Stones and the Beatles. So Luke, Han, and Leia were natural subjects to join the Pantheon. And like Lee, my guest Leslie is also a Windy City native, and I was so happy to connect with her and hear firsthand how this all went down. But a quick theater note before we dim the lights and hit the projector. Though she can't recall specifically, Leslie almost certainly saw Star Wars at the Esquire in downtown Chicago, a long-gone cinema that originally opened in 1938 and hosted each installment of the original trilogy. The first movie opened there on May 27th, 1977, for an 18-week run, the early crowds for which can be seen in the footage from the Lee Phillips Show. All right, time for the feature presentation.
And now for our feature presentation.
I grew up in the Chicagoland area. I was born in Chicago and raised in a suburb called Glenview. My father was very heavily into, he actually was a producer, writer, and director of commercials. My mother was an actress. So I was kind of involved as a young child in the entertainment industry. But The thing I remember the most, even though I got to go on set, I got to watch my dad work on commercials. I even saw my mom do plays and things of that nature. Really wanted to be an actress, very much so, but they didn't want me to do that. They were really actually very much against it. So I listened to them. They had nothing but horrible things to say about the industry. So, you know, they're, oh, you'll get married, you'll have kids, you know, don't get yourself involved in any of this. So I kind of did what they said, but I am now an actress, became one, decided to just go ahead. It's because it's just always the dream of being an actress actually never left me. It's a lifelong dream, passion of mine, actually. And I did do plays. I did do a few community theater things, but I remember as a child sitting on my father's knee watching shows like Thriller. I don't know that too many people are going to remember that one, but it was like Outer Limits and there was Twilight Zone and all those shows, especially Outer Limits. I just remember that how that began, you know, that iconic beginning. Same thing with Twilight Zone. So my father was a huge, huge sci-fi horror fan. So he raised me on that. I am definitely a product of my father. And when Star Trek came along, I was very small, but I really do remember the commercials for it. And I was so excited. I told my dad all about it. I'm like, Dad, you know, you got to see, this looks like it's going to be amazing. When I watched the show with my dad, I drove him nuts because every 2 seconds I was trying to ask him I didn't understand the plot. I didn't understand what was going on. All I knew was that I loved the phasers. I loved the monsters. I loved all the sound effects and the beaming and all that. I'm like, wow, this is such a cool show, but I don't understand what's going on. And he would do his best to try to explain to me after the show was over. So, you know, those are my very early childhood memories. So obviously once Star Wars came along, I was fully invested, fully just unbelievably excited. So that's kind of like my background. That's how I kind of just definitely had, I've just always, as far back as I can remember, have had a passion for horror as well as science fiction and fantasy, all of it.
And did you have any favorite local movie theaters that you went to often? Were you going to the movies frequently as well, or was television the bigger thing for you?
Really more television than movies. We did have a couple of theaters that we would periodically go to. There was one called Eden's Plaza, which unfortunately no longer exists. But I do remember going that. My parents obviously taking me to go see, I think it was Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and Mary Poppins, you know, all the kid movies. So of that era, of that time frame, in the mid to late 60s. And, you know, even I remember as a teenager in the 70s, the early 70s, seeing some, you know, movies. The Sting is an example. I remember that came out in 1973. And I love that movie. I thought it was fantastic. So, yeah, I mean, I do. I remember I would go to the movies, but I just wouldn't say it was like all that often.
So when did Star Wars show up on your radar? Do you remember how you first became aware of it?
I, believe it or not, do. Of all places, I was at the dentist office just for a checkup, you know, your annual cleaning or whatever it is. And I remember sitting in the lobby waiting for my turn. And back in those days, of course, no such thing as cell phones. They had various magazines, you know, sitting on the table that you could read. And I do remember there was a Time magazine, and I did enjoy looking at Time. And I opened it up, and I'm just, you know, thumbing through it. And then a certain picture caught my eye of this very furry-looking creature called that would be known as a Wookiee. And then on one side, you know, you've got, which would be known as Han Solo. Then you've got Princess Leia, and you've got Luke Skywalker. I'm looking at this picture of these very interesting looking characters thinking, wow, this looks kind of cool. And so I'm reading the article about this movie, and I'm like, wow, this sounds really, really cool. I can't wait for this. When is this coming out? When is this supposed to come out? You know, and it said, you know, May 25th, I think. So anyway, I'm like, I could not wait. That was my very, very first time of ever seeing a picture, reading about it, anything. That was my very first time of seeing anything about it.
That's great. So where and when did you end up seeing the original movie, and who are you with? I mean, that had to be pretty soon after it opened.
Absolutely. Believe it or not, I think, you know, I really wish I could remember for sure. If I didn't see it on opening day, it definitely was maybe the next day or the day after that. It was really close to the day it did open. Of all people I was with, I was actually with, I told you I'm my daddy's little girl. I was with my dad's mother. I actually was visiting my grandmother, and she lived in downtown Chicago in a high rise. And I have to admit, I do not remember the theater we went to. But it was definitely in downtown Chicago. And she and I went and saw it. And luckily, she also did like science fiction and fantasy and all that. So she was fine with going and seeing the movie. Well, both of us were blown away. I mean, you can imagine, this woman was born in 1898. And for her to have lived that kind of a life, to see all the changes and all the things that have happened over the years, to go from that time frame to seeing movies such as Star Wars, she actually was at a loss for words. She was like, oh, you know, oh my God, you know, this is unbelievable. And, but we both felt the same way. Like, what did we just see? What did we just watch? There had been nothing. The closest thing I think I feel to it really was probably 2001: A Space Odyssey. But really, Star Wars was just so unique, so different. Everything about it, not necessarily the plot. The plot where, you know, the prince or the knight in shining armor coming to save the damsel in distress type of thing. But although Princess Leia was not so much of a damsel in distress, she could hold her own with no problem. but all the characters and the special effects and the makeup and all of that, nothing. There really was nothing like it before. It just blew everybody away, blew us all away.
And did you end up getting to go back to see it multiple times?
You're probably not going to believe this, but maybe you will. I lost track of how many times I went and saw the film. I know I did see it probably over 500 times. You know, you could go to the movie theater and just stay there and be there all day to watch it. And I knew at one time in my life, I actually really could recite the entire film, the whole thing.
Yeah, I know you're not alone there.
Yep.
So The Lee Phillips Show. How did that all come about? Were you familiar with the show beforehand?
Well, because of my parents being in the business, I definitely was familiar with it. In fact, I had actually already met her. I actually was also a soap opera fan. So if people are not aware, Lee Phillip and her husband, William J. Bell, were very, very, very heavy into writing, producing, and all that sort of stuff for it. Was I know it was Another World, As the World Turns, and The Bold and the Beautiful. They were involved with those soap operas. So Lee Phillip was definitely, in the Chicagoland area, was definitely a super famous person and very nice, very, very down to earth, very, very sweet lady. So I definitely knew all about the Lee Phillips Show, and I would watch it occasionally when I could.
And when it came to joining the show with the cast of Star Wars, how did that opportunity come together?
Well, I actually was part of a huge Star Trek fan club. And Stewart, I don't remember his last name, but Stewart was the president. He was the one that started the fan club. It was all about wanting to try to get Star Trek back up and running again. So that's why that was what he was trying to promote. And that's what our fan club was all about. We did have a pretty big group of people that were in the fan club, and he handpicked certain people that had contributed a lot of things and done things for the club. So he picked, I forgot how many, he's the one that actually was instrumental with this whole thing happening. It was his idea to contact Lee Phillip and say, hey, we're a Star Trek fan club. We really want to try to promote Star Trek. Would you be at all interested, you know, on, we could come on your show and talk about it or anything like that? Well, they did get back to him and they said they were interested, but they were like, well, however, we really don't want to talk about Star Trek. We want you on the show, but this is what the deal is. Would you be interested in coming on and maybe helping to interview the cast from Star Wars? Well, he was like, it's still a little bit of promotion for the club, because she did mention something about the name of our group or whatever. And so he did pick me along with, I think, 10 other people, something like that, to come on the show. Of course, when he did contact me, I almost dropped the phone. I was so happy. I was so excited. Even though Star Wars had not been out long at all. I mean, in fact, maybe I had already seen it at that by that time, maybe two or three times, because it really hadn't even been out for that long. But oh my gosh, I was just so excited and so thrilled. I'm like, yes, yes. What are we doing this? What are we doing this? Oh, it was great.
It's amazing. So what was that day like? What did it all entail?
Well, you know, obviously I remember us getting down there, getting to the building. They explained, they did say, hey, we want each of you to try to think of a question that you want to ask the cast. They did want to find out from us, okay, who are you going to ask a question to? What is your question? So they did want to know ahead of time, but I was not prepared for that. And my mind kind of went blank. I'm like, okay, well, I knew I wanted to ask Harrison Ford a question because he was my favorite. I had a crush on him. I'm like, oh, you know, so I really did want to ask him a question, but I'm like, oh my gosh, what should I ask him? What can I ask? And I was not, in hindsight now, I'm not too excited about the question I asked him, but it was just so, I had to come up with something really fast. So I just thought I'd ask him what his favorite part of the film was to film.
Yeah, hi, my name's Leslie Sawyer, and Harrison, I'd like to know, did you enjoy doing the film, and also what part was your favorite part to do?
Oh, I don't have a favorite part. The whole experience was a joy from beginning to end, and I loved working on it. It was real hard work, and it was, you're using your energy in a worthy pursuit. I enjoyed it a lot.
And I think I asked him something. There was another question I asked him as well. But we were very, very excited. They sat us down. It was really cool to see the set, because obviously I'd never seen the set before. And when I did watch the Lee Phillips Show, it looks like you're in her living room, right? It's like you're in a living room and the guests are sitting on a couch. And it's just, you know, but no, it's just a set. It, you know, you walk in, it's a huge room, because, you know, they have to have the cameras set up and all the lighting above and on sides and stuff like that. So it was kind of weird, you know, to see the set. And they set us up next to them in these folding chairs. They were just folding chairs. But oh my gosh, where I got to sit, I was like right next to them. They're looking at me. I'm looking at them. I'm just like, I almost felt like Ralph Crandon in The Honeymooners. Look at the humming, 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 humming. I was like, oh, I can't believe this is happening, you know? Oh my gosh. And I got to tell you, I am so grateful that at that time, obviously, there's no way anybody could have foreseen what Star Wars would eventually become. It was just a really popular movie, you know? But if I had known what it was going to become, I would have been just beyond nervous and beyond petrified and everything else. So it would have been bad. So at least I was able to enjoy the moment. I could be very excited and very happy to be there and not be real stressed out or real nervous or anything. But boy, yeah, I'm glad I didn't know what it was going to become.
Yeah, it's incredible to look back at that particular moment, because it really was so soon after it had just come out, and it hadn't set in yet.
No, it hadn't.
So did you get to meet the cast personally and spend any time with them off the air?
Yes. Believe it or not necessarily beforehand. They were trying to get things set up. They wanted to mic them and get them all set up on the couch and then get us seated where they wanted us to be. So there was no being able to really kind of visit with them beforehand. It was afterwards. We did get to spend some time, not a lot, because they were on a tight schedule. They were really having to run from one interview to another interview to another interview, and just so on and so on, whether it was radio, TV, whatever. They had to be out there promoting the film because, you know, again, you have to remember, I know that actors still have to do that, but not to the degree they had to back then, because now we have all this media, you know, with the cell phones and all this stuff that just didn't exist at all back then. So they did have to, they had a grueling schedule of trying to promote the movie. But I would say we got to spend about 10 or 15 minutes with them after the show. And totally, you know, get their autographs, get pictures with them, talk with them. So that was nice that we did get to at least for a little while hang out with them after the show.
Oh, that's great. And Mark, Harrison, and Carrie have such different personalities that play off one another just as wonderfully off screen as they do on screen. Do you have any standout impressions from any of the trio that you remember?
Yes, I definitely do. I don't think this is going to come as any sort of a surprise to any of your listeners. Out of the three, Mark Hamill was definitely a huge, huge ham. And he loved every single second of the whole thing. He was way into it. Even when they would cut to commercials, he's doing like little bunny ears behind Carrie Fisher's head. But that was like when they took a commercial break and they knew that, you know, they weren't on the air because the show was live. It actually was live. It was not taped. And anyway, so he was like the class clown. OK, but very, very outgoing, very jovial, very bubbly. He had so much energy. Carrie Fisher, on the other hand, was very demure. You could tell that she was just taking sort of everything in stride. She was a lovely lady. She was sort of very prim and proper, not at all silly, but not, I don't want to make her sound like she was some sort of a snob, not at all. She was very approachable. She was very sweet. She was absolutely lovely, but, you know, very kind of reserved in a way. So yeah, she just was taking it all very much in stride. And, you know, Harrison Ford absolutely didn't even try to hide or cover up the fact that he did not want to even be there. It was not his thing. He just was like, you realize that, okay, you know, I contractually have to do this. So fine, I'm here, whatever, you know? And like in between takes and stuff, he would be like leaning back and like, oh God, when is this going to be over? And, you know, I mean, it was just like it, I'm telling you, the way Mark Hamill was and the way Harrison Ford was, it was like night and day between the two of them. But it was interesting when the show did end, Harrison Ford was like nowhere to be found. He just disappeared. And of course, all of us were very disappointed. We're like, where did Harrison Ford go? Because both Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill were very sweet to us, very kind, and were more than happy, again, to take the pictures and autographs and all that. But Harrison Ford, he was like a bat out of hell. The second the show was over, he was gone. Well, I got news for you. I was not going to take that. All right. I really wanted to find him somehow, some way, and get the guy's autograph. Thinking back on it now, I'm like, yeah, you've got to be young and dumb, I guess. I don't know. But I was not at all fearful that I shouldn't be wandering around the sound stages or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, I went off on my own to find him. I was on a mission and I'm wandering around all over the place and going down hallways and looking in rooms and all this other stuff. I finally found him way down at the end of a hallway at just standing there all by himself. And I went up to him and I just said, you know, Mr. Ford, I really, really enjoyed you in Star Wars. I thought you really were the best. I absolutely loved the character of Han Solo, and I'd really like to have your autograph. And he was like, oh, you know, okay. You know, I mean, he was nice to me. He definitely was not like, go away. No, he was very nice. And I did. I got his autograph. I'm the only person that was able to get his autograph because nobody else did what I did. And so all my other Star Trek-y people I was with only got Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill. But I was like, well, I got Harrison Ford. They're like, well, where did he go? Where did you find him? I said, well, I was on a mission. I was going to find him. He wasn't going to get away with it.
And you probably had to be one of the first to accomplish that. That's wonderful. So post-Star Wars, any vivid memories of leading up to and seeing The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi?
Well, the funny thing is with Empire Strikes Back, there was all this controversy about, is Darth Vader Luke Skywalker's father, or was Darth Vader lying to him to just be a jerk, you know, to mess with the guy's head? So you're either on Team Vader, where, you know, he's a liar. Or you're on the Team Vader where, no, he's telling the truth. He really was Luke Skywalker's father. So everybody was placing bets and all this other stuff. It was a real big deal thing. I actually, believe it or not, was on the team of where I did not believe that he could possibly be Luke Skywalker's father. I'm like, he is just messing with him. There's no way. I was so sure I was right. It's like, how could he be Luke Skywalker's father? That is ridiculous. Well, obviously, when it really was revealed that no, he really truly was Luke Skywalker's father, it was like, huh? What? It was such a shocker. It really was. That was really a shocker. A lot of fans were not too happy with how Empire Strike Back ended. We just sort of felt like it quit. So we were all just like, oh my God, we've got to wait another 3 years before we can see what ends up happening. And we're like, oh my God, how can we, we know everybody was like, we can't stand this. We can't believe you're going to make us wait to find out what's going to happen. So then obviously when Return of the Jedi finally was going to come out, everybody was obviously beyond excited and just, they couldn't wait. And no, I mean, I got to tell you that all three movies, unlike the rest of the movies that have come out, especially like Phantom Menace, when that came out, how that got so terribly panned and you know, put down, whatever. All three of the first three that came out, when those never, they did get, they did not really didn't get panned. People embraced them. People loved them. It was just an amazing time. It really was just an amazing time. If you were wearing a Star Wars t-shirt back in those days, the way you got a t-shirt like that was by going to one of those stores where they ironed it on. You picked out what you wanted, and then you picked out what t-shirt you wanted, and they would iron that on for you. So if people were wearing a Star Wars t-shirt, everybody would say, "May the Force be with you," if they saw you wearing one. It was so cool. It was just, you almost felt like we were uniting in a way, because if I saw somebody wearing a Star Wars shirt, I wouldn't hesitate to look at them and say, "May the Force be with you." And they'd be like, "May the Force be with you too." And then vice versa. If I was wearing one and they weren't, but they were a fan, they would look at me and say, "Hey, may the Force be with you. Hey, may the Force be with you." Everybody was saying it. It was so cool. It was really great.
Yeah. And it feels like that's cyclical. I feel like every generation picks it up again in a different way, which is great, though there's, yeah, no way to ever recreate that original era. So you've had a long-lasting connection to fandom and fan communities, and not just Star Wars, but more broadly with Star Trek and other things. What would you say has changed, and and what seems just the same as it always was.
Hmm. Well, I got to tell you that with in the beginning, obviously, Star Trek fans were absolutely nuts over Star Wars. They had been so hungry and starving for something. Just give us a crumb. Give us anything. I mean, yeah, we're thinking it's got to be Star Trek. We want Star Trek. You know, please, just can you make another TV show of Star Trek, right? But then when Star Wars came out, it was like, Oh my God, this is great. This is fantastic. You can give us more of this, you know, but still give us some Star Trek, you know? So it's kind of funny in a way that thanks to, there were talks of bringing Star Trek back. There really were. And I think even without Star Wars, it would have eventually happened, but it would have happened later as opposed to sooner. It's because of the impact that Star Wars had that obviously then Paramount took notice and said, maybe we really better get going with something with Star Trek. And they were originally thinking maybe it would be a TV show, but things happened, you know. And then they decided, yeah, I think we'll make a movie. Let's see how we'll do the movie. And then, of course, there you have Star Trek, the motion picture. There was not any of this divisiveness. All Star Trek fans were also Star Wars fans. You did have a few Star Trek people that just couldn't get into, they thought Star Wars was entertaining, but they wanted a more cerebral approach to science fiction, you know. So it wasn't deep or heavy enough for them. All right, fine. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. No problem. But as the years passed, for some reason, got a broader, deeper division with the fans of Star Wars versus the fans of Star Trek. And honestly, I just don't even think it warrants a comparison. Yes, they're both science fiction, but they are both incredibly different. It's like trying to compare apples to oranges. I just don't feel it's really fair. But you know what? It is what it is. I personally love both equally. I have a passion for both. And hey, if people that love Star Wars don't like Star Trek, all right, fine. Well, that's fine. And if people that like Star Trek don't like Star Wars, that's fine too, you know? But why create this division where they'll be putting each other down and all that? And I just feel like, you know, I would prefer just to stay away from all of that. So unfortunately, I have seen that happen over the years, but
you like what you like.
You like what you like. You know what I mean? But I do think that Star Wars definitely had a huge impact on, and it really got the ball rolling with making things like science, you know, science fiction just more popular. Because then, you know, you realize we got Battlestar Galactica, more shows, more of that kind of theme popped up, and it's never gone away. I mean, it really, really hasn't. We've sort of had little ebbs and flows and stuff like that. But once Star Wars hit, it really did change the landscape of television as well as movies, and made it more popular. And I cannot get over how much the geek world has exploded with all the, you know, Avengers movies and, you know, all that Marvel and DC, and none of that existed when Star Wars came out. Are you kidding me? And then being able to make the costumes. Yes, there were Star Trek conventions that you could go to and people would make their little homemade little, you know, costumes and stuff. But you couldn't buy them. You had to make them yourself. You know, there's no YouTube videos telling you. And when I made my Princess Leia costume, I had a friend help me who knew how to sew. I made my buns. I went and bought just some fake hair when it was Halloween time, and I cut it up and I glued it and I made the buns. And, you know, you had to just figure it out on your own, you know, unlike today where, hey, you click a button, you're on a website, you look up a Princess Leia costume, you order it and it's sent to your home, you know, boom, it's done. You know, well, back then, no, it was actually very difficult and time consuming to try to make these costumes. But I did make a Princess Leia costume, and I must say it turned out really well. And what's really kind of cool was I'm only 2 years younger than Carrie Fisher, and I looked a lot like her back in the day. And I actually ended up getting invited to do a lot of things. Like they wanted me to be in parades, and I did children's birthday parties, and I got to do a skit in New York where I had to be Princess Leia. And also the other thing that's really interesting is that the biggest Star Trek convention at that time was in New York. at the Hilton, and I went to that, and you would think it was a Star Wars convention because it was 1978 and everybody there was wearing Star Wars costumes, not Star Trek, but Star Wars. They even showed Star Wars in a huge ballroom that fit thousands of people. And I still get chills when I think about it. The whole room packed, absolutely packed, not a seat left. We're watching the Star Wars movie and everybody was reciting it when the people talk. And when there was something good that happened, the whole room exploded with people clapping and cheering and then booing, like Darth Vader going boo, you know, that kind of thing. And then the end, of course, when they blow up the Death Star. Oh, gosh, it was everybody standing up, cheering, clapping, going nuts. It was unbelievable, just unbelievable. You're never going to experience something like that again, because like I said, it was only 1978. So it was so new and it was such a breath of fresh air to all of us sci-fi fans. And we were so happy and excited about it. So it was just, it really was an amazing time. And then the other thing that happened to me that I also will never forget, at that particular convention, there were a group of special needs adults. They were not children. They actually were adults. And they had, you know, people there helping them. But they basically were like surrounding me and like wanting to touch me and everything because they really truly believed I was Princess Leia. And they were asking me where Han was and where was Luke. And I was able to talk. But the people that were with them were like horrified. They're like, oh, my gosh, no, you get away from her. Get away. You know, back up, back up. You know, because they were all crowding around me. And I said, no, it's OK. It's OK. I mean, I wasn't at all afraid. They're not going to do anything harmful to me. But they were like, no, we're so sorry. We're so sorry. I said, no, it's OK. It's OK. So, you know, I just explained to them that Luke was busy on Tatooine, you know, doing something, and that Han had to fix the Millennium Falcon. Unfortunately, there were some problems with it, and that's why he wasn't there. And it was just such a sweet moment to be looking at these people, the way they're looking at you, that in their minds, you know, they really believe, you know, that you're that person. You're that Princess Leia really does exist. Okay. That's what they thought. And, you know, it was just such a beautiful, beautiful thing, and such, it meant a lot to me to have experienced that. That was wonderful. It was really great.
No, that's a really nice memory. So we've talked a little bit about impact on the broader science fiction and entertainment scene and a bit on the personal side. But in terms of the lasting impact of Star Wars on your life, philosophically, creatively, what does that theatrical experience of seeing these movies mean to you?
Oh, gosh. I just love the hope, you know. It sends such a hopeful message, you know, just that this, the famous saying, anybody, even if you're not a Star Wars fan, if somebody were to say, may the force be with you, they're going to know right away where that line came from. Okay. It's, you know, they're just going to know. So, but what a beautiful sentence, may the force be with you. And the movie, you know, A New Hope, I feel like it just gives me hope that no matter how bad things can seem or how bad things might be going, there's always hope and, you know, a hope for maybe a brighter tomorrow or a brighter future. I love that scene. One of my favorite scenes in Star Wars is actually where Luke is looking at the twin sons on Tatooine, and you hear that beautiful music playing, and he just seems so downtrodden, like, you know, just dreaming of something else, you know, there's got to be something else better than this, being stuck on this rock. And little does he know, you know, what's going to actually end up befalling him. But yeah, that's how it really hit me, that to hold on to your dreams, keep going. There really can be a better, brighter tomorrow. Don't let go. Because, yeah, once you do let go, then there really is nothing. So don't let go. And like, even with me, with wanting to become an actress, I never really, really let go of that dream. It kind of went on a shelf for many, many years. I got married, raised some children. Now I'm single and my children are all grown up. So I found myself, you know, going back to that dream. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to just go for it. I know I'm too old now to become any kind of big time celebrity, but it's okay. That's fine. I just love to act. And I've done a lot of background work and been on many, many TV shows and movie sets and all of that as a result of doing that. And ironically, I've done some independent films where I've had lines. I got to be a zombie on The Walking Dead and, you know, just all kinds of things. They rebooted Dynasty and I got to be on the show Dynasty. And there's a lot. And I also have done many, many, many Star Trek fan films. And I don't know if any of your listeners I've tried really hard to somehow get involved with Star Wars fan films. And I just don't have the right connections. The few people that are sort of, they say they know somebody or whatever, then they're like, no, it fizzles out. So, hey, just, you can find me on Leslie Sawyer on Facebook and on Instagram. I'm just known as Leslie Sawyer. I'm on all those socials and I hope you don't mind me plugging, but huge dream. It would just be a huge dream of mine if I could somehow just even be a walk-on, just throw me a bone. I would love to do something that's Star Wars related. That would be absolutely amazing. It would be a huge dream come true. But you know what? If the only thing happens is that time when I was on the Lee Phillips show, getting to sit right there in front of Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and Harrison Ford, if that's the closest I ever get, I'm very grateful for it and I'm very happy for it. It was really a highlight, definitely a highlight of my life to have had that experience. And you can imagine how I felt when all of a sudden it appeared on YouTube. It was something I thought that I would never get to see because the show was actually not recorded. Well, obviously it had to have been recorded somehow, some way. But when the show aired, it was aired live. And I could not watch it, obviously. And back then, there was almost no such thing. One person in our group had a beta player or machine or something. But I knew, I was like, oh, I'll never see this. And I was so upset that I would never get to see it. And then I was in shock when I saw that it was on YouTube. And what a trip down memory lane. And I was blown away to all these years later, finally get to see it.
Well, it's an amazing piece of history. So I'm glad that someone did preserve it and it's out there for people to see. So
yeah.
Thanks again, Leslie, so much for coming on and sharing your story. This has been great.
Well, thank you, Stephen. I really, really do appreciate it. I love talking about my experience of being on the Lee Phillips show. And I am so appreciative of all the things that actually have happened to me with regards to Star Wars. I feel I've been very blessed to experience the things that I have experienced. And Star Wars to me, again, is hope. And I sort of feel like I'm living proof in a way that I always dreamed of being an actress, and I am living my dream, and I did get to experience some amazing things. So I really, really do, Stephen, want to thank you so much, and I really appreciate you so much for letting me be on your podcast, and may the force be with you.
And with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Leslie, who also shared some nice candid photos from that fateful day in June of 77, along with some recent fandom and cosplay fun. You can find those, as well as Leslie's socials and links to learn more about Lee Phillip and the Esquire in the show notes on the website, starwarsatthemovies.com. I'll also include a link to the full Lee Phillips Show episode, which is an absolute must-watch, along with so much other great archival content over on the Museum of Classic Chicago Television's YouTube channel. Definitely worth checking out. Theatrical data, as always, is courtesy of Michael Coates' Digital Bits Star Wars Retrospective. And to keep connected with this project, you can join the Facebook group and follow along on Instagram, Blue Sky, and Twitter. Social links are on the website, or search Star Wars at the Movies or SW at the Movies. And if you have the time, ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, which I've just added the show to, are also immensely appreciated if you'd like to support that way too. Until next time, remember,
relax. It's only a movie, and it's all for fun.
My name's Stuart Weiss, and Carrie, I'd like to know, in your opinion, who gets the princess at the end of the movie?
The Wookiee or R2-D2, I haven't decided.
You're being very, very diplomatic, and I was going
to think. She gets a big hug from Chewie when they escape. All I get is a kiss on the cheek for luck.
Yeah.